Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us again at I-80 Sports. Today, we're talking news and notes of the week for the Week 14 upcoming football games. Let's get into it. We got Ed and Dave here. How you guys doing tonight?
Good, good. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back.
Yep, doing well.
Good, good. Yeah, it's good to be back. Got through Thanksgiving week. A lot of exciting games we saw last week. This week we'll take a little extra turn here on our show. We're gonna do some news and notes, then we'll recap a few games, and then we're gonna give a betting prediction. So we're gonna put out one lock for this week's slate of college football that we think is gonna win from a legal sports betting perspective. So like we always start out with, we'll start off with some news and notes. The first one I'd like to get into, it's a real shame, is Michael Penix Jr. He's out for the season, the quarterback from Indiana. It's a real shame that he tore his ACL last week, but that kind of ends their season here. Although they do have a capable backup. Ed, do you know a little bit about their backup here?
Yeah, Tuttle's a good quarterback. He was highly recruited, but I just like you just said, I feel bad for Indiana. They were off to a good year. Obviously the one loss to Ohio State, but they played them extremely tough. It's something like this that just puts a damper on their season. I got Wisconsin this week. Wisconsin's going to come in hungry after losing to Northwestern, and there's still some talent in Indiana, obviously, but losing their quarterback, Tuttle's a different animal. Tuttle throws, he doesn't really have the running ability that Penix had, so it's going to be a different offense, and I don't think they're going to be able to stay with Wisconsin.
No, yeah, me neither. I just think it's unfortunate for Indiana. But it's the way it's been in 2020. So many teams have had their hearts broken with injuries and COVID. But hopefully he'll bounce back next year and Indiana will come back.
Yeah, it's a real shame that happened out there in Indiana. Let's talk a little bit about some other cancellations this week. Any notable games this week that were canceled due to COVID or they needed to be rescheduled or anything like that this week?
It was interesting because I'm just going to bring it up here just to check. So they got two games canceled tomorrow, Boise State at UNLV and Southern Miss at UTEP. They're both canceled. And then Houston and SMU got postponed. Minnesota canceled the game with Northwestern early in the week. Maryland and Michigan got canceled. But compared to the weeks past that we've spoke, the number of games canceled are very limited. I think last week, what they have 15 total games. Right now, they're looking at seven total games canceled. Not even seven, six. I'm sorry, only six games. So hopefully that's a sign that everything's looking in the right direction. Let's keep our fingers crossed. Notable is Michigan for obvious. Yeah,
couple games got moved to Sunday too. We have Western Kentucky at Charlotte and Washington State at USC. That's actually a pretty good game there, Sunday night.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting game. Seeing USC play
better than the NFL Sunday night game, that's for sure. Denver, Kansas City.
Maybe Denver will have some quarterbacks this week.
Yeah, at least that's a good thing.
Locke's back. Locke's playing.
Yeah.
All right. Let's another great news we had here last week was Vanderbilt's Sarah Fuller. Yeah. Sarah Fuller makes college history with her kickoff. It's great news for college football. I think it's outstanding. What do you guys think?
I think Vanderbilt went out there and laid an egg for her. She didn't even get to attempt an extra point because they got shut out. And I honestly don't know if she was scheduled to do the kickoffs. I think because all the media that was there and the discussion is they put her out there to kick off for the second half. And it was, I'm glad she got out there and got a chance to kick, but I don't know. I'm a little skeptical why it was set up that way. I'll be honest, I was talking to some guys about it. I could see extra points, everything like that, field goals and everything, but having her kick up, doing a kickoff, and I think that's part of the reason that she kind of squibbed it, was they didn't really want it to get kicked deep where she had to come down and make a tackle. But hey, I'm glad they're, she got a chance to kick. That was a good thing. And she's back this weekend, so we'll see.
She's first on the depth chart. And it's outstanding. And I think hopefully she'll open the door for a lot of women to kick. And who knows, maybe when we say like a wide receiver one day or something play. But I'll tell you one thing I will say negatively is, and you shouldn't read Facebook comments, like all the stories on Facebook about it, because apparently there are still a lot of men in this country who need to get into the 21st century with their comments about this. It was pretty sad.
Yeah, she's a great athlete. Just won the national championship with Vanderbilt soccer too. Just a great athlete. I wish her some success there. We'll see what she can do this week coming up. Ed, do you want to mention a little bit about the Heisman race here? I think it's going to be a great. It's going to come down to the wire here,
which I totally disagree with. But and I mean, yeah, our Twitter page. I've been mentioning it to some people and putting it out there. I mean, I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I think by far, not even close, the best player in college football is Trevor Lawrence. Hands down. Freshman year, national champ. Last year, loses in the championship game. This year, he's playing well. You know, Clemson's Clemson. Dabo likes to play everybody. So if they're up big, he's going to get the young kids in. He's not like some of these other schools where you got Justin Fields throwing the ball late in the fourth quarter when they're up 40 points. I mean, hands down, this should be for Trevor Lawrence. But it also makes me think, a couple years ago, Deshaun Watson had a great college career. Deshaun Watson should have won the Heisman. Lamar Jackson had an outstanding season. Don't take anything away from Lamar Jackson, but he got a Heisman that should have been for Deshaun Watson. I'm not going to be shocked if we see Mac Jones or Kyle Trask end up coming in and swooping the Heisman away. And to be honest with you, as a Clemson fan and as a Coach Sweeney fan, it'll hurt, but they don't care. They're not in it for Heismans. They're in it for national titles. But yeah, I think it's a wide open race, but I really don't feel it should be. I think it's Trevor Lawrence by far is the best player in college football.
I'll tell you what, Ed, honestly, I mean, Trevor Lawrence is the best player in college football, but I think the player that has had the most outstanding year this year is Kyle Trask. I think, the numbers he's put up at Florida, and the SEC, you know, cause the ACC is kind of weaker. I think Kyle Trask has had the best year.
He's kind of weaker. I don't know how much weaker the ACC is. You guys can say Trask all you want to say Trask. Go ahead. But you know what? Trask is playing in the fourth quarter. Trevor Lawrence isn't. So the numbers that Trask puts up in four quarters, Trevor Lawrence is putting up in three. But let's see. Let's see how the end of the year. I mean, this is a huge week. Clemson wins this week. They're in the ACC title game and gets a rematch with Notre Dame.
But yeah, Notre Dame's in.
Yeah, Notre Dame's in. They adjusted the schedule. So Clemson's got to win. It's not going to be easy. It's not easy to play in Blacksburg. It's not going to be nice weather. Saturday night at 7:30 there. So let's see if they can take care of business like they did with somebody's Pitt Panthers this past Saturday. And then we'll see if we end up in the title game again. But I think it is like it's going to be interesting to see where it comes down. There's a lot of push for Mac Jones. There's a lot of push for Trask. Justin Fields is still in the picture. And then, you know, we're not even talking about ETN. Or Najee Harris at Alabama is having a great year out of the backfield as well. Should be interesting.
All right, let's hear your top six.
Top six changed this week, boys. I got Alabama at one, and it's like they said a couple years ago, I think it's Alabama, and then there's everybody else. Alabama is a clear number one. What they did to Auburn this past weekend, I'll talk about them again a little bit later with the lock of the week, but Alabama is a clear one. I got Notre Dame at two. I thought they looked really, really good Friday night when they played North Carolina. They let North Carolina come down the field and score, and then they figured it out, and they just finished them the rest of the game. Notre Dame looked very strong with, and Rich like this, two backup offensive linemen, and they still controlled the line of scrimmage the whole game. Very impressive.
I kept my eye on that the whole game. The backups did a great job.
Yep.
They did a very nice job in that game.
I got Clemson going up to three. Like I said, if they beat Virginia Tech, we're back in the ACC title game and get another crack at Notre Dame. So I have Clemson up to three this week. I knocked Ohio State down to four because they had another game canceled, and their remaining schedule is a joke. Michigan State, even though they upset Northwestern, is a joke, and Michigan is a joke. So Ohio State's at four. Florida at five. I kept them at five, even though they lost to Texas A&M. Trask the Pitts has been a phenomenal combination. They're both excellent players. And I'm leaving Cincinnati at six. They don't play again until December 12th. They have Tulsa on December 12th. I do think if Texas A&M beats Auburn this weekend, they'll jump up to at least six. And I'll be honest, if they handle Auburn and handle them easily, I might even put them over Florida because they beat them head-to-head. But Regardless, I got Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State, and the first two out, Florida and Cincinnati.
Can't disagree with that at all.
Yeah, let's take a look at some games from last week. All right, Ed, you mentioned one of the ones I was going to discuss here. We have Michigan State taking down Northwestern 29-20. Northwestern fell down early. They were down 17 points here. They came back in the fourth quarter. They tied it at 20. Michigan State was able to get a field goal, and then they scored on like some trickery at the end. They were trying to get a play, and they fumbled, returned it for a touchdown. But the good news for Northwestern, even though they lost, they're still first place in the Big Ten West because they beat Wisconsin last week. So they probably likely still have a shot at that Big Ten title game. But that was an interesting game to me. I enjoy watching those low-scoring games. It was a real physical game. I don't know if you guys got an opportunity to watch it or just saw the highlights. But Michigan State looked like they came to play, and they took it to Northwestern, got the win 29-20 over number 8.
Yeah, it was a good game, but it just makes you think. I saw a lot of people talking about maybe after they beat Wisconsin, Pat Fitzgerald possibly leaving and coming to the NFL. But it just seems that every time he gets his name thrown in there and Northwestern starts to really click, something like this happens. It just, Northwestern, they were eighth in the country at the time. You know, play to your ranking. I mean, you definitely played an inferior opponent. And you don't want to blame coaching. You don't want to blame whatever. But you know, Coach Fitzgerald, you got to have those guys ready to play. They can't look past. I mean, Maryland was looking good. That's who they were supposed to play this week. I can't think they were looking past Michigan State to get to Maryland. But you got to handle your business after you beat Wisconsin, and everybody's talking about you and Ohio State in the you know, Big Ten championship undefeated teams. They go out and play a stinker like this. I mean, I think Pat Fitzgerald's right where he belongs. He's a very, 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 very good Division I college football coach. I don't see it translating to them.
Well, it'll be interesting because I've heard that the Jets possibly we want to go with a college coach if they get Trevor Lawrence. The Jets shouldn't do that.
The Jets tried that many years ago with Lou Holtz way back in the day. Yeah. You young guys, if you don't know who Lou Holtz is, look him up. But he didn't last because he was so rah-rah. They said the NFL couldn't take to him. I don't know what the Jets are. Anybody, you'll talk NFL quick. If you don't hire Eric Bieniemy as a head coach, you're making a huge mistake.
Oh, completely agree. He's just phenomenal. Yeah.
He should be the first guy off the board. Mm-hmm.
Couple other games here from last week. Texas A&M beating LSU 20-7. You know, LSU really got shut out until the end of that game. We had number 9, Georgia. They beat South Carolina 45-16. Clemson took care of Pitt 52-17. the Iron Bowl, Alabama really dominated that game. It was tough. It was tough to watch because I thought Auburn was going to keep it close. I wanted to see an interesting game there. But the next team here, Coastal Carolina, they got another win against Texas State. Got a huge game coming up this week that we'll preview a little later. Anybody else want to recap a game from last week?
I'll just mention, I won't recap it, but I thought last Friday was a great day after Thanksgiving slate of games. I mean, you start with Notre Dame, North Carolina started out good. Like I said, North Carolina then, you know, kind of fell apart. Notre Dame put their foot on their throat and finished it. But still was an excellent game to watch. And then you got Iowa State and Texas, and Iowa State stuck around and did what they usually can't do. And they came back and they beat Texas. And then the nightcap, you know, the Beavers upsetting the Ducks, Oregon State taking out Oregon and just blowing up the Pac-12. I thought last Friday was an exceptional slate of the games, highlighted by those three.
Of course, yeah. You know, I forgot. That felt like a Saturday to me.
Yeah.
That was like all-day football. That was awesome.
It was great.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dave. The one thing I will say is there's no way Texas should lose to Iowa State. That's just a terrible loss. And I think Texas is going to go in a different direction with their coach. But they seem to keep doing that every few years. They underachieve, and then they get a new coach. Starts out well. And then they end up like 3-4 years later finding another coach.
Yep. And every week I keep hearing Urban Meyer. I don't know. Urban Meyer in Texas. We'll see.
I was watching the Maui Invitational yesterday, the college basketball tournament, and they mentioned that Texas is the number one selling, the number one grossing program for all sports in all of college sports.
They did a thing. If they had a salary cap like the NFL in college, every Texas player would be making like like $300,000 a year. And that's like how many players they have? 70 players or whatever? That's a lot of money.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you can take class with Matthew McConaughey. Can't go wrong. Everybody go to Austin. Let's go.
All right. Let's get into our locks of the week. So we're going to pick one game that we're confident in to lock in, to give our prediction on. We'll see how these games go. I'm going to take mine into the MAC conference. I love some action. I like it better when it's on Tuesday and Wednesday. But my game here now, you're going to have to monitor some injuries, some injury news coming out of these games. The injuries is going to is pending the pick. The spread here is at about 1 to 1.5 on this game, Ball State and Central Michigan. Now, if Caleb Huntley plays, he's an all-world running back for Ball State. I'd like to lean in Ball State money lines direction. That's a pick I would be interested in taking. Central Michigan just lost their starting quarterback, Daniel Richardson. He hurt his leg. Now, there are news that Huntley may play. We got to see the status of Richardson also. So that's kind of where I'm leaning here, as my lock of the week is going to be Ball State money line against Central Michigan.
What do you got, Dave?
Okay. I think I like Florida giving 17.5 at Tennessee. This line seems like it should be over 20. And I think Florida is going to continue to roll, and they're going to win this game easily by at least 4 touchdowns.
That's a little bit of a rivalry, a little tough, but yeah, it goes into what I have. I have Alabama rolling LSU this week. I just think it's a payback game for Alabama. They were mad that LSU COVID'd out of the first one. I don't know if that's the proper thing to say. Herb Street apologized for it. I'll apologize in advance for saying it too. But LSU, they don't have anything. Let's see. Jamar Chase opted out for the season, their number one receiver. Terrence Marshall became their number one receiver, and he opted out this week, so he's not going to be playing. They have a decent freshman receiving core there, but Alabama's looking for revenge. They did not like what happened to them last year. Knocked them out of the college football playoff, knocked it out and out of the SEC championship game. I think the spread's at 29 or 29.5. I think Alabama rolls.
Just coming back to my pick here, Ball State, in their last 10 games against Central Michigan, they're 7-3 against the spread. And the last 6 times they played at Central Michigan, they're 6-0 against the spread in that matchup. So you just got to take a look at the monitor those injuries, all right? And
Rich is telling everybody, put your money on Ball State.
Yeah, I like Ball State. I do like Central Michigan too, but losing their quarterback Daniel Richardson is going to be tough for them. And Ball State's quarterback Drew Plitt, he's 68%. He's got over 1,000 yards and has a 6-4 touchdown to interception ratio. They looked good last week. I don't know if you watched that game. They were 10-point underdogs. I was on them last week. They won outright. So I'm liking me some cards here this week. Ball State, little action on Saturday, 2 p.m. All right, let's take a look at our games to discuss, not necessarily from a betting perspective, but just from an overall feel perspective, kind of the bigger games here we have. Dave, let's go to you. We have some Friday night football, Louisiana at Appalachian State. What do you got for us, Dave?
Yeah, Louisiana, their only loss this year was to Coastal Carolina, and they're going to get a rematch with them in the conference championship game. So it'll be interesting if they're looking ahead, because Appalachian State is not a bad team, and they're at home. I mean, I know betting-wise, though, the spread is 2.5 Appalachian State. So that's interesting to see where Louisiana can win. And Coastal Carolina, and we'll get to that game later, they're playing BYU. So if Coastal Carolina ever beat BYU and Louisiana beats Appalachian State, that'd be a really interesting conference championship game. This game is too close to call. I really don't have a feel either way who's going to win this game. But I'm rooting for Louisiana because I like to see Louisiana, Coastal Carolina play with only one loss between them. That'd be really good.
Yeah, and I like that game too, and it leads into the game that I was going to discuss, kind of jumping ahead. But you got to remember, you know, you talk about Coastal Carolina and their one loss, but you know, Coastal Carolina is undefeated, but they have a shot to beat BYU this weekend. But the team that the Raging Cajuns defeated is the team I'm talking about, is Iowa State. In week one, Louisiana beat Iowa State, and everybody was kind of like, uh-oh. But Iowa State has come back, and they've picked off Oklahoma. They picked off Texas. They beat Kansas State. But they got West Virginia this weekend. Now, they're home, but they're coming off a big win against Texas. West Virginia, they play good defense. Letty Brown's their running back. He's having a great year. They like to run the ball with him. He's a tough, hard-nosed, downhill runner. But in my opinion, Purdy's a bit of a stretch as the best quarterback in the conference. But I think Hall, Breezy Hall, is by far the best. I think he's better than Chuba Hubbard in the Big 12. So Iowa State's got the tools, and I think they're on a mission this year, and they want to lock up the conference championship game this weekend by beating West Virginia and then most likely seeing Oklahoma, who just somehow managed to stick around. But I'm very interested to see how West Virginia plays at Iowa State this weekend. I hope Iowa State comes to play because they're having a pretty good run here. But West Virginia, don't be surprised if West Virginia gives them a game coming off their bye week last week as well due to COVID.
West Virginia, Iowa there. I think Iowa State, I'm sorry, not Iowa. I think Iowa State, they're on the cusp of grabbing the Big 12 title this year. So I think they're going to come out. They're going to be ready to go. West Virginia's defense, they've been coming to play. They've been good all season. I think it's going to come down to the final possession. Iowa State just won a game on the final possession with a last-minute field goal last week. So I think that would favor Iowa State to get the job done. I'm gonna say Iowa State's gonna win this game. Another game we'll take a look at. There's a ton of games on the slate. Just going through our list here, we have Ohio State, Michigan State. We talked about Oklahoma State, TCU, Marshall, Rice, Northern Illinois against Toledo. I'm not gonna go through all of them. You guys can go ahead and check ESPN. Just some of the bigger games here. Missouri and Arkansas. That's gonna be a good game. That's a close spread under three, I believe. Florida, Tennessee. We mentioned. Iowa, Wisconsin could have been a great game. Unfortunately, the news about Michael Penix came out. But the game I'd like to discuss here is Texas A&M, number 5, Texas A&M at Auburn. I think this is going to be an excellent game. The spread sits 6.5 last I looked. So it's the potential for a one-score game. Now, going in Texas A&M's favor, Auburn defense has been struggling, not against mediocre offenses, but against Tennessee or against Alabama. They got lit up last week for 464 yards. Tennessee lit them up for 445 yards. Their third down defense has not been great here. So Texas A&M should be able to take advantage of that, especially they played bad weather against LSU last week. They only put up 20, so it wasn't great performance from them. But I think they'll be able to control the clock, use their style to win. And control the tempo.
Yeah, I like Spiller, Isaiah Spiller, the running back at Texas A&M. He's having a good year. I think he should have a pretty good game against Auburn. Although, just like you said, Rich, I think the way to beat Auburn this year is through the air. Just like you said, Alabama, Mac Jones look like Superman. So if Kellen Munn can start completing some passes downfield, some of those receivers, I like Texas A&M in this game. And like I said earlier, if Texas A&M just wins, I think I'd move them into my top six. If they win easily or even if blowout, then I might even bump them above Florida no matter what happens, just strictly based on head.
I feel like Kellen Mond should be better. He's been around a while. He really had his chance to break out this year. I don't know what's going on with Kellen Mond this year, but he hasn't looked up to the potential that he has. Just thinking this game here, I think this game's going to be under a touchdown. But I do think A&M is going to get the job done. Auburn's going to come ready to play. They would love to spoil the Aggie season here. But Auburn, Texas A&M is going to be a good game. Definitely a key game I'd like to take an eye at this weekend.
And I just got two other quick ones. I mean, we should have probably mentioned it, but Rutgers knocking off Purdue last week in Purdue and sets them up. They should have beat Michigan. We talked about that last week. This is their shot to show us something. Does Rutgers beat Penn State? Is this the year Rutgers can finally beat Penn State again? I'm going to be interested in watching that game and see how it goes. It's nice, too, seeing last week they won behind the Lanigan and Stokowski, the two Jersey kids playing quarterback. That was great to watch them have some success and knock off Purdue. But Penn State, Rutgers, what do you guys think, quick?
I think it's going to be a good game. I mean, Penn State can't be losing to Rutgers now, can they? Although Rutgers is doing a nice job. I don't want to hate on Rutgers.
Yeah.
But yeah, local team.
He does a great job there, yeah.
He's doing a great job. Keep chopping. But you said Penn State can't lose to Rutgers. They lost to everybody else.
I know. Michigan.
And, I mean, that's the only team they have.
Maybe Penn State's just not that good. 1-5 this year. They're 7th in Big Ten. Maybe Rutgers home. I'm excited to see this game. What's the spread for that game? Anybody know?
I do not.
Well, you can't bet New Jersey, so it's not on any other sports books. Yeah. So you have to look at somewhere else. But you know, Penn State. Well, fortunately, they've had a rash of injuries and COVID with the running back situation.
They have no running.
Oh, yeah, here's my lock of the week. It's Rutgers plus 11.5 against Penn State. Wow.
Yeah, I think this will be just like the Michigan game. I think Rutgers will lead early, but they'll find a way to snatch defeat from the Joseph.
I hope not. I want to see Rutgers win this week.
I want to see Rutgers.
So would I. I'm not really a big Rutgers guy, but yeah, it would be nice because I'm not hate Penn State as a pick guy. So but
I think the last game we should at least mention is I think it's phenomenal job how both teams worked this out and the NCAA let it happen was. Yeah, College Game Day is heading to Brooks Stadium to go watch. They were supposed to watch Liberty at number 18 Coastal Carolina. Liberty got hit with COVID. They shut the program down due to COVID, kind of left a big question mark. BYU was looking for a game. BYU stepped in. NCAA approved. Coastal Carolina approved. And we're going to get to see number 13 BYU at number 18 Coastal Carolina. BYU is looking. They're undefeated and they're 13th. In the college football playoff rankings. They're looking for respect. They beat Coastal Carolina. They're going to get the respect. Am I saying college football playoffs? No. But maybe a New Year's Six Bowl? Very possible. Wilson, who everybody is high on, another quarterback flying up the draft boards. He has 26 touchdown passes this year. But the kid from Coastal Carolina, McCall, he's thrown for 20. So I know the game, I think originally was supposed to be played at like 2 o'clock. And I think it was only on ESPN3, but it's been moved to 5:30, and it's on ESPNU. Definitely looking forward to seeing these two teams get at it. If I had to pick somebody, I'd probably pick BYU based off of some of the strength of schedule that they had this year. But it's going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to it. And, I'm really excited that they stepped up and made this happen instead of them canceling totally.
I just don't understand how BYU – is ranked number 13. They're undefeated. I don't know how they're not in the top 10 at least. They're not getting any respect this year.
Yeah, it's kind of like Notre Dame. It's the, you know, as an independent, it's hard because you can't, you know.
Well, Notre Dame's in the ACC this year.
Well, I know, but I say for years, that's why. Because for years, Notre Dame was an independent, and a lot of times they got no respect because they're like,
when Notre Dame was an independent, look at who they played. They always had USC on their schedule. They always had Michigan on their schedule, Michigan Stanford. State on their schedule, Stanford on their schedule. Mm-hmm. Let's look here. Here's what our BYU Cougars, they're 9-0. It's great to go undefeated. Navy, who's not Navy, they beat. Troy, Louisiana Tech, University of Texas San Antonio, Houston, Texas State, Western Kentucky, Boise State, who's 21. There's their win. There's their one. And North Alabama, who Zach Wilson played the first quarter. That was it. That was 66-14. He threw 212 yards and 4 touchdowns in the first quarter. That's North Alabama. So playing Coastal Carolina is huge for them, even though Coastal Carolina really hasn't played that tough a schedule either. Coastal Carolina beat Kansas this year. All right, they're in the Big 12, but it's still Kansas. But they did beat Louisiana, like you said, and they did play a good App State team. It's going to be a good game, but should they be 13, Rich? Probably not, but play somebody besides Boise State.
Yeah, that's a really big game. Go ahead,
I'd like to see Coastal Carolina beat BYU and then beat a one-loss Louisiana. Then it'll be interesting to see where they go. But they're not going to go to the college football playoff either. But
no,
that's the reason why it should go to 8 teams. But then if it goes to 8 teams, Coastal Carolina will be the 8th seed playing Alabama. I mean, you know, well, so do we really need to see that? I mean, yeah. So that's a whole other discussion with the college football playoffs. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a whole separate show. Bob, are you listening? Bob, set the show up. A whole separate show on that.
let's wrap it up here with our final thoughts of the week. I have one interesting note: is UCF quarterback Mackenzie Milton.
Yes.
He entered the transfer portal. So he was the UCF starter from 2016 to 2018. He was having an awesome season, and then he had a gruesome knee injury. So he's been rehabbing for a couple years. He's returned to football activities, and now he's in the transfer portal. I would love to see him get a one final chance at a starting job in college football and see where he goes from there. He was doing an awesome job. You remember Mackenzie Milton from a few years ago.
Yep, Alex Smith-type situation with him coming back. It would be very interesting to see where he ends up. And I'm rooting for him. He's a good kid.
Okay, and then one quick thing. You know, Urban Meyer, I really hope he goes to Texas, doesn't coach at all, because you know Jerry Jones. He had Jimmy Johnson out of college, Barry Switzer. I heard rumors that he had flirted with Lou Holtz in the 90s. I don't want any part of Urban Meyer coaching the Cowboys. Please, no.
He's not an NFL coach, Dave. Don't worry. Yeah. He won't go up there. His wife won't let him coach in the NFL. My final thought is just keep a close eye on the Big Ten, boys. It's unfortunately COVID is making that conference very interesting. Ohio State is 4-0. They got Michigan State, and then they have Michigan next week. They have to play both of them to get the 6-0 to make to the conference championship game. A lot of rumors out there in the Twitterverse that if Ohio State loses one of those games due to COVID, that the Big Ten will reshuffle their rules to allow them to still play in the Big Ten championship game. But honestly, we can talk about it next time. Thoughts on a 6-0 or 7-0 Ohio State team getting into the college football playoff over, I don't know, 11-1 or I don't know. That's a whole other story.
Bob, yeah, we got to see how it shakes out with the records of the other teams, the conferences, and all that stuff. But I can't wait for our college football preview show in a couple weeks.
Always root for chaos. That's what I say.
Always root for chaos, yeah. You don't have to make the decision.
Yeah, I know.
All right, guys, thanks for joining us. I'm Rich here with Ed and Dave. We're signing off for I-80 Sports. Have a great night, everybody. We'll see you guys next week.
Enjoy the football, guys.